Hey, hey, it's Jordan reporting from Let's Dig Into That. Season 2 is here and we are opening with a two-parter. We have a guest on the couch so compelling we kept her after class. JT and I love welcoming brilliant guests to the pod, from experts and dreamers to innovative thinkers and champions of the do-over. Capturing these flashes of inspiration, seeing bits of yourself in someone else's story, this is where the magic happens. Today we are, thrilled to be joined by a truly exceptional human being. JT and I know this radiant woman as the guiding connector. She is the nucleus of our little mountain town, a networking architect. This woman is a dynamic designer, a tireless advocate, and the ultimate accountability guru. We are talking about Cassie freaking Fortman. As founder of the Grand Mesa Business Guild and program manager at Delta Innovation Workspace, Cassie has crafted two sensational creator spaces packed with resources and a network of talent and services. Motivating and supporting small business owners, fostering ideas, and generating actionable plans, Cassie is the guardian angel to get your goals off the ground. JT and I met Cassie through her photography, Sassy Creative. This powerhouse right here was the only guest when we eloped. To say Cassie knows us is a classic Let's Dig Into That understatement. But in getting to know Cassie, we were shocked to learn that our friend is actually CCF, Cassie freaking Fortman, version 7.0. This queen has experienced reinvention to the point I'd argue she more accurately resurrected her life, revived her sweet, tender spirit on more than one occasion. At the age of 27, Cassie celebrated her first birthday in nearly a decade. Following a divorce that within her church family and community ended her very existence, aka she died, in the eyes of these people, Cassie was again faced with rebuilding her entire realm of support and connection, down to uncovering her most pure, authentic self. The unimaginable task of tackling growth after loss begins with trust, and that trust starts on the inside. Today's conversation takes connection to the next level. This is the reason we're here together. How we heal, what it means to start over, how to show up as a friend. Cassie's magnetizing energy reminds us of our inherent power, how simple it is to take better care of ourselves, and why we all have the choice to get bitter or better. And now for part one.
Welcome back to the Let's Dig Into That podcast, everyone. We have a very special episode, as you just heard, Cassie freaking Fortman. Thank you so much for being here.
In the house!
It's incredible. We can't thank you enough, truly.
Oh my goodness, thanks you guys. I am so pleased to be here, back at your pad. was an honor to be the only guest / photographer at your wedding.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah, it's accurate. Great to be here.
I'm going to jump right into it because I am Jordan's intro. Your 27th birthday was the first birthday you had in over a decade?
Just about
a decade.
How does that happen?
You are the party maker.
I know.
Yes, we've only socialized with you at events of great magnitude.
I know. So it was a choice that I made to join an organization that did not celebrate birthdays, holidays of any kind, limited happiness, limited celebration overall, which is a weird fit for me. I get that.
So 18 is when you decided I want to join the no fun bus.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Gotcha. Wow. And so there was just no celebration of any kind. This is a religious organization?
It is. So Jehovah's Witnesses, so we call them the J-Dubs.
J-Dubs?
For short. And you make it sound cool, maybe.
Well, yeah. sorry about that. Yeah.
So I was searching. I was going through a really hard time, and needed something solid, and they swooped in and offered me a community, some really incredible women, especially great friendships, and that fellowship part. I really wanted that.
Instant community.
So I did not read the terms and conditions really completely, and before I knew it, I was baptized and I was in deep and I was a part of it, and I stayed for nearly 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. When you say you're in deep, does that mean you find a partner and you build a life? Like, what do you mean by
all the way?
All the way.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I was married. I was, so they are the ones who, at least used to, they go door to door. Bing bong. Do you want, I mean, the jokes are endless. You know,
in
I get
pairs,
it.
Pairs, right? Name tag, the tie, skinny tie. We've got a visual.
No name tags. They They didn't have name. They had the Mormons. The Mormons do the name tags.
Okay.
And so you are in this culture of service, of saving people's lives.
Okay.
Because you believe that this realm, this time period, is not the real world. The real world is coming. And so the time that you're in now is for saving yourself and saving other people, because the wrath of God is coming, and it's gonna be violent and ugly and bloody and gross.
More happiness.
More happiness.
More joy.
If you, yeah, to, so, like Revelation, that was one of their favorites.
So not a J-dub until 18.
Right.
Okay, introduction to the impending doom.
Definitely grew up celebrating everything and going really hard with it. And my family was incredible with all of that. And so it was missing out on that, I know, hurt my family. Sorry, Mom. And but they were very glad to have me back and took me back.
So you had to distance yourself from those closest to you in this process.
Oh. Yeah. So part of their process is they become your family. And there are Bible verses, and their interpretation is, we will replace your family times 100. Basically that our way is the truth. And so even though I had some contact with my family, it was extremely limited. And I know that I hurt them a lot by doing that.
Man.
So I'm trying to make up for it in the meantime of showing up for them and celebrating even harder.
And your family was there when you did pop out for this 27th. That is wonderful to hear. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
So before you were able to pop out, as Jordan said.
Pretty sure
you mentioned you were married. How does that come about?
Well, when a man loves a woman.
Was love involved?
It was. So it was actually my high school sweetheart.
Oh, nice.
And he was raised as a J-dub. And when I was going through a hard time personally, he recognized that and thought that his way of growing up would help me, even though at the time he was not a part of it. And so we kind of started going down that path together. And I went straight into the deep end, got baptized. I pioneered a little bit, which is their way of, it's an hour commitment per month of 70 hours a month of service, 100 hours a month of service, 120 hours a month of service, of like levels that you commit to going door to door.
And when you, so just door to door, I was going to say, when you say service, does that entail just sort of door to door?
Door to door Bible studies.
And Bible studies.
Anything that you're doing to save someone else is you get to clock in and clock out.
Wow.
You're not getting paid, to be clear. However,
just an internal suffrage.
Oh, you write it down.
Okay.
You write it down.
You Jesus. Is that what you had?
Uh-huh. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. So
you were married very quickly then to high school sweetheart.
We were, because in that culture, you can't be alone with the person that you're dating. So we made this switch, and then all of a sudden, we weren't allowed to be alone anymore. And so that inspires people to get married really quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, definitely.
So we were married for a pretty short amount of time, just like 2.5 years, I think, really short. And we were kids. We were teenagers when we got married. and it didn't work out. And so that's how people get married in that culture. It happens really fast.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I appreciate you sharing that. It leads me to my next question.
Mm-hmm.
So after you guys decide that it's not working out,
mm-hmm.
how does the church respond to that?
I didn't decide. He decided that he didn't want to be with me anymore. It wasn't a mutual decision at all.
Oh, wow.
He left. And
yep. I'll second that.
You are so courageous, and thank you for sharing this with us.
Yeah, he decided that there was someone else that he cared about more, who happened to also be my best friend, who just had a baby.
Oh.
And so I found out that they were together, and he left.
Oh my gosh.
So everybody's in the church. Your best friend,
mm-hmm.
and has a baby, mm-hmm. and then okay, so what? Yeah, what does the church do to get back to?
So what is? Yeah, what does the church do? The church, man, that's a good question. I'm like, gotta rewind in my memory bank.
Feel bad for causing the rewind.
It's okay.
Did he get to stay?
No, here's the interesting thing about Jehovah's Witnesses is they, if you're not baptized and make that commitment, then you are treated with more leniency with your decisions. If you've been baptized, then you're eligible for disfellowshipping, which is really a cool punishment system that they have. And
wow.
By cool, I mean like completely devastating and terrible.
We caught your sarcasm.
And so yeah, they swooped in because of my sadness, and they knew like I was married because I wanted to have a partner and I wanted to be loved and adored. And in that culture, women are very submissive, and you need a head of household just like Jesus is a head of the church. So it's not, you're kind of supposed to get married in a way.
So the head of the household is just always the guy.
Yes.
The independent female threatening in this environment?
I think so, because you have time to think for yourself.
Ah, that danger zone.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they swooped in with another suitor. At I don't know, I think I had a few hours off, maybe a few days, but it was really fast.
Oh my gosh.
That they were really pushing me together time-wise and in group settings with this other person who was about my age, and that's it.
So pretty much like arranged. Like, did you know this person at all?
I did not.
At all?
I did not.
Wow.
No. He attended my best friend's baby shower that prior year, but I didn't meet him because there was a lot of people there. He remembered me, but I did not meet him. And so we met. My divorce was final in November. Sorry, Mom. And I met Ryan in January. And we were married in May.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was really
fast.
That
independent female is a threat. That's some turnaround time.
It was really fast.
So no time to process the fact that you've been through a divorce.
No.
At all.
No.
Grieving that, devastating, because you lost the grief of this best friend relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one, this man that got you into the church and said, this is the stability of which you seek.
Yes.
And okay.
Yes.
And then 5 months, let's just fall in love. Was there, any love in that moment?
I think I was in the mentality of being damaged goods, and who is ever going to love me again? And cool. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. Wow. And you know, again, not being able to be alone with that person. You're not supposed to be, you're supposed to be chaperoned. Do you guys remember that word?
Yes.
Chaperoned, yes. For real. Wow. And his parents caught us kissing in the kitchen one time. And the next day, they drove us to the courthouse. And were like, you guys are getting married. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, no. My family will murder me and you guys. So let's not do that. Let's do a wedding.
Pump the brakes. Pump the brakes.
Let's pump the brakes. But these are people that you trust and that you, like, he was in charge of that branch. They're called presiding overseers, and she was a pioneer, so leaders in the mm-hmm. community. So I trusted them.
You're being encouraged.
Yes.
This is your community. This is your network of people. Of course you trust them.
I trust your judgment.
They're taking care of you.
This is the right thing. I was not myself. I was not myself. I was, people call it brainwashing. People call it different things. But I really am pretty smart. I got good grades in school. I spoke at high school graduation. I was the top of my class. And I had a really bright future. And so that just goes to show they can kind of coerce you with this community feeling. So that's how they got me. Would not recommend. No stars. Would not go there.
No stars! Zero for the Jade.
Would not recommend.
No. Well, so. I knew your story was incredible. I am completely blown away, and I hate to continue to prod because you're being so vulnerable and it's so appreciated, but let's take it from the second marriage. What happens next?
So we were married for, I think, around 4 years, and it didn't go well. It was something I learned a lot from as far as how I deserve to be treated. And I will never, ever let anyone treat me that way again.
Hell yeah.
There was emotional hurt and verbal hurt, and it ended in physical hurt. And nobody deserves that.
No.
And I would rather be alone.
Absolutely.
Than be treated that way. So that's what I learn from that. And
How do you, when you say this suitor, this person you have identified as the person who's going to care for my broken, not allowed to grieve heart, and you face the layers of abuse there, do you go back and say, hey, bad pick for me? Like, do you have any recourse in this is unsafe? Like,
with people within that I the spend church. Time with now? Oh, within the church.
Church, like in that moment going, this isn't it. This isn't good. I need.
No, not really, because he came highly recommended.
The worst ones do.
He came highly recommended. He also served as a pioneer. He was a sign language interpreter and helped a lot and traveled on mission trips and did a lot of really incredible service-y things. Because anybody can be really nice in front of other people, and that is what everyone else knew about him. And so I don't really blame them for that, because I think that they didn't really know him either. And so, no, nobody really knew who he really was. And it takes longer than 5 months to get to know someone.
I used to have a rule through all the seasons, because people can make it weird in winter.
Oh,
get a little hot.
I dig that.
Yeah, I think the current one is see how people are when their phone battery's below 20%. That's when their true colors come out now, I think. So I have to. So your anger level, because I am fully enraged. I want to make a list.
Yes.
I want to make a burn list, and holy shit. And so it's too much, but how are you not? I would never have ever. She's giving a glow, people. She is a radiant light of love and positivity. Oh. How the hell are you not so angry?
Hmm.
Oh, she is, maybe.
Well, I don't, as a tendency, as a set point, I lean more towards the sadness and not the anger. So I spend a lot of time being very sad, being very depressed, feeling very worthless and lost and confused, and that I had really effed up my trust for myself, because there were little things that told me this is not quite right.
Oh, the whisper this of intuition.
This isn't real. This isn't quite right. And I shushed that voice and opted for the that connection and that community, that religion, that set of beliefs, and that person, even though it was not right for me. The Jehovah's Witnesses, that might be a good fit for some people. If that's a good fit for you, cool for you. It was not good for me.
Definitely not. How? No, I mean, I'm out. Thinking about the layers of abuse that you experienced, tell me how you got out of this. You're clearly not a Jehovah's Witness now.
No, I'm not.
Yes. So tell me about
on the lamb.
So, the disfellowshipping program that I told you about earlier. So, it's similar to the Amish practice of shunning, where you do something against the rules, and you go through their judicial system. They have their own judicial system, which yes, is terrifying. And so I had slept with someone after Ryan and I were separated, and and
keeping that one.
And I felt so awful about it, and that I had to go confess my sins.
You're brainwashed. Yeah, of course.
And because technically I was still married, and you should not, you know, be doing that if you're not married anyway, in their belief. So I go and confess my sins and tell them what happened. And so what that looks like is, you know, full JW garb, long skirt, hair up, Bible in hand, all the things. And I'm in front of a panel of four elders, whom you call brother or sister in that culture. And they interrogated me for hours about what I had done at the Kingdom Hall. And then they sent me out into the auditorium for another couple of hours while they talked about what
they slut shamed you.
Yeah. And so they call you back in and they say, okay, well, we talked to God, and this is what he decided, that you actually we don't want to hang out with you anymore, basically. They will show you Bible verses. This is what you have done. These are your options. You can go, or you can stay, but we're not going to talk to you ever, for at least a year or two, until we know you're really sorry. And
wait a minute. So you're there among in the community, mm-hmm. but they just pretend like you're not.
You are dead.
Dead. Just even yes. though you're standing there in their presence, they yes. treat you as if you're dead.
Yes. Whoa. So they make that decision. You have a week to say goodbye to everybody. And you have to say goodbye to everybody, not just your congregation. It's the whole organization. And for me, I had a business. It was my whole existence that I had been in for like almost 10 years. And then they go in front of the whole congregation and make an announcement to everyone about what you've done. And then that's the moment you're dead to everyone that you've ever met in that space. And that was the, you know, I felt it was just,
it's like a witch hunt. It's the mind blowing.
It was awful.
Can't believe what you've been through. I gotta know, how did you celebrate your 27th birthday?
I went dancing?
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
I went after I was treated that way, and at the same time I was getting divorced, getting disfellowshipped, and I lost my job because my manager was a Jehovah's Witness. So they found a way to get rid of me. And
well, you died. I mean, come on. I died. It's hard to employ a dead
person. So I did get angry. Now that I think about it, I got angry and decided, okay, then I'm going to do what I want to do. So what do I want to do? And I wanted to learn how to two-step dancing, hashtag Urban Cowboy, John Travolta, Deborah Winger. Yes. And that's what I wanted. So I was living in Colorado Springs. Cowboys Nightclub is there. And the army guys are more than happy to twirl you around that dance floor. And I learned how to dance. And it was so freeing to do that and to go out and be seen. And for 4 minutes, you get to dance with someone and have fun, and then you can have your space. So that's how that kind of started coming back to life in that way.
And it sounds like in your journey of coming back to life, to use your own words, you did a lot of learning.
I did.
Yeah. What else did you study?
I did. Well, I went to Colorado Mesa University in Grand Junction.
Mm-hmm. So wait.
Go Mavs.
Sissy's over here on the couch, 18. We decided to just, all right, we'll go into school. I didn't even think about higher education, probably not the J-Dubs number one. Oh,
no, because once again, this is not the real world.
Oh,
this
is right. How silly of me to forget.
So why would you want to invest in yourself that much? That's silly. So go on ahead and do the carpet cleaning, the house cleaning, the service related things that don't require education so that you can spend as much time in service as possible. And so I was 28, I think, when I signed up for classes. So well, 10 years.
Oh, good for you.
Than my classmates.
Brave. Awesome.
It was very brave because I did not feel cool.
You packed up that J-Dub wardrobe and you're like, I'm trying
oh my
to get
gosh.
Back
I
in it.
I still don't like wearing skirts. I still don't.
Your fashion game is on point.
It's real trauma. I mean, that makes mm-hmm. sense to me that you wouldn't want to do that.
And so I started actually in psychology at CMU.
Okay.
Decided it was too hard within the first semester. Because I'm like, ooh, I have that. And
diagnosing
that, and that.
Like, yourself, yes. Oh.
And then you need to go a little further. I was told with a doctorate or something to do a lot more with that kind of degree. And I was like, oh my God, I'm already 28. 4 years is enough.
Yes,
so,
fair.
The whole time I've always done photography, and I really wanted something that could complement that skill set. And CMU has an absolutely incredible graphic design program. It's a very small, like brutally hard, wonderfully, awfully hard program. And so I signed up for that. And I found a place that I could make art and, know how to understand how to solve design problems. Design problems are cool and a little bit lighter than, like, mental health challenges.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. Huh. That's how that
You
went.
Deserved the color, yes, in your life. What an amazing experience. How many did you have? I feel like design, was it a small?
Oh,
did
man.
You have a family? You are just so magnetizing.
Yeah, we started, I think, with 40 or 50. And I think our graduating, our ending class was like 17. Because they want you to be a damn good designer, not a half-ass designer. And to do that, you have to be committed to what it takes to solve problems for clients, do the hard work, show up when there's deadlines and push really hard, and make it meaningful kind of design. And I wanted to be that kind of designer. Not everybody wants to do that, and that's okay. So our cohort turned out to be a really cool little family. They were all like my little chicks, and I like to check on everybody, and I always had snacks.
Mother hen a little bit, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because I was 10 years older. Mm-hmm. And so they're going through their growing pains and things, and I'm a little bit removed from that. But also, I didn't get to have that when I was 19, 18, because I was a wife, and I was playing house.
Right.
And I was doing
in service.
That. Yes.
Yeah.
And so I didn't go as hard on the drinking and things as they did because I just was a little bit older. I did some for sure and enjoyed myself.
Good.
Out there two-step and get a little loose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I love dancing and line dancing and all of the boot scooting activities. I'm there. Yeah.
Well, I think you mentioned something just in our beautiful friendship that I thought that was really cool, that during this time that you're in the design school, that you also had the opportunity that, like, mental health, since yes. that came up, that, oh, yes. man, they have opportunities on campus, and I'm guessing that was first exposure based on they don't have in-house therapists at the old J-Dub.
No, no, you go to the elders for things like that, and oftentimes they don't have
the time old white men of wisdom.
They don't have time, and they are not professionals, and that was something that angered me greatly, is that it's so frustrating that they wouldn't allow people who really need help to go get help because you can pray your way out of it. I'm like, or maybe you need to go see a professional, but they don't support that. So a lot of women are really, really sick in that organization, and it is very sad. So while I was at CMU, I went through a hard chapter having to do with my family, and became so in the depths of despair that I call my depression, and I needed to drop a class. The only way the school would approve me dropping a class or withdrawing, I still had to pay for it, but withdrawing and it wouldn't affect my GPA, was I had a care plan. They said, okay, you got to do all these things. One of them being, you need to go to a therapist. Rock on. I love therapy. Let's do it. I've been in therapy since I was 6 years old, man. Bring it on, because family and then marriage. And so I think that there is so much good from talking, especially to a professional who could be like, you know what, you're doing okayer than you think, buddy.
Yeah.
Right.
You really are.
So we've got design, you're going to school, you're seeing a therapist. Mm-hmm. Is there one thing that you can pinpoint that you would say is like the major contributor to your growth in that time frame? Would it be one of those two things or?
Really, both of them combined of the class that I dropped was a history class, by the way. It wasn't a design class because I love design. Mm-hmm. Loved all of it, and I miss it terribly. But having a therapist who we started actually with the Enneagram. I'm an Enneagram 2, which is called the Helper. My name, Cassie, Cassandra means helper of mankind. And I'm a Virgo, so I'm just really wired to help.
To be of service in the not icky connotative way of the church.
Yes, I was set up
by my parents. So personality test is that.
Yeah, so the Enneagram, I highly recommend that to people of just getting to know yourself better, how you're wired, and
permission to be yourself.
Health. Yes.
Yeah, you're like, that's just who I am.
Yes.
On paper.
Yep. Absolutely.
Our audience doesn't know this, but Cassie and I are a day apart, Virgo power.
Virgo.
That's right. There's a joint party, I'm sure, pending.
Yeah. So just having a support system who we were there for each other, and it wasn't about God. It wasn't about the Bible. It wasn't about that. It was about our combined love and hope for our futures, and how we wanted to see each other succeed and grow and push each other. And it felt so genuine. and good, and not based on religion. It was based on just wanting the best for each other, just because that is what good people do. And it was an absolute honor to be a part of that class. There's still a lot of really good friends. Even if I haven't talked to them for a while, I know I could call them and we could just catch up like it was yesterday that we ended school. I did graduate in 2020. So in the throes of COVID.
Oh, man. Right in the heart of COVID.
Yeah. So the last semester, we were all separated then and sent home to finish this beautiful chapter at home. And so that sucked. But
no kidding. That is like, yeah, you're ready to make that party. Like, yep. Oh, stupid COVID. Yeah.
So we had like the most awkward graduation in August. 2 guests per person. Everybody masked up. Everybody had to sit. They set our seats 6 feet apart or whatever the rule was. And you got to take off your mask for the photo and then you got to put it back on. And but I believed going through that for someone to speak out into the universe, Cassie did this thing, you should hire her to do it. So I decided to go ahead and participate in that.
Man, your story is just blowing my mind, and mostly because I know who you are now. And it's so crazy, yeah, to think back to hear that this is the past and the recent past. And
yeah,
I thought we were on the path with your design that things were finally get better, but one more hurdle. But it's just unbelievable, because when I met you, you're the center of attention. You are a connector. You help so many people in the community. It's just incredible. And
standing ovation. Ovation.
Sort of on a tirade, but let's talk about the wins, because like,
oh, yeah, you're, so many wins.
You're now, yeah, you're a business owner. You represent a nonprofit. Yeah. It's incredible.
It is incredible to hear the details of this transformation, this amazing story of resilience. Join us for part 2 on the next episode of Let's Dig Into That.